The University Hospital Kerry has been holding interviews to appoint consultants in emergency medicine, and positions have been offered. This is part of a wider scheme which was announced by the Minister for Health to provide 50 additional consultant and fund 50 additional consultant posts in emergency medicine. It's badly needed, and with me on the line to talk about this, we've got Fergal Hickey, who's President of the Irish Association for Emergency Medicine. Fergal, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
How badly needed are these posts, and how good is this that this is actually finally happening?
It's very good news. The reality is that the Royal College of Emergency Medicine, which is the UK body which sets standards, would recommend that you have one whole-time equivalent consultant for 4,000 attendances. Ireland's figure at the moment is something in the order of one per 12,000. So we have a third, roughly, of what we should have by UK standards, and there are other parts of the world that would have many more consultants. So we are very short. And in your introduction, you cited University Hospital Kerry. For many years, that has a single consultant. It's moved recently over the last couple of years to three, and hopefully there will have been two candidates appointed from last week's interview, which will bring it to five. Now, that's in advance of the Minister's statement. This was work that's been ongoing for the last number of years, but we certainly welcome the additional 50 posts that are being referred to.
Okay, and what difference will that make, do you think? There are a whole number of different reasons that we've explored in detail on this programme as to why there are pressure points on emergency departments and all of that, but the provision of these consultants, how far will that go to try and alleviate that problem?
Well, I think we need to break that down into two elements. So consultant-delivered care is clearly superior to care delivered by people at an earlier stage in their training. So having fully trained specialists is obviously advantageous, and that's true across every specialty, and emergency medicine is no different. Clearly, the sickest patients end up coming to the emergency department, the most ill and injured, and therefore the benefits of having a consultant involved in their care from an early stage are indeed fairly obvious. Now, at the same time, emergency departments at the moment are under phenomenal pressure, and that is primarily due to the fact that we're short of acute hospital beds. And I heard the end of your interview with Minister Foley, and the same allegation could be made about hospital bed provision that you made about the provision for appropriate energy sources. We've known for years that we're short of acute hospital beds. We have two-thirds of the acute hospital beds per 1,000 of the population that the OECD average countries have. So we have 2.8 acute hospital beds per 1,000 of the population. The OECD average is 4.3. So we're very short, and we haven't made headway with that. And at the same time, we have an increasing population, and we have an increasing elderly population. Yeah. And as you're well aware, we've had a significant influx of refugees, which adds to the population, but also adds to the complexity of clinical care that needs to be provided.
Yeah, and that's another problem. We're in a county here in Kerry, among the oldest county in Ireland. Our population is increasing. People are living longer, good news, but their care needs become more complex, maybe spending a little bit longer in hospital. And that all adds to the pressure that we're seeing. We've just come through, and we're still in, I suppose, the midst of a very busy tourist season here as well in Kerry. So it all adds to the pressure on ED in our local hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's true across emergency departments across the country. There isn't a single emergency department of the emergency departments in Ireland, and there are 28 of those, that isn't under phenomenal pressure for the reasons that you've mentioned. So the difficulty we have is that we can't admit somebody into acute hospital bed quickly enough. So, you know, a patient comes in with a pneumonia or a hip fracture or whatever it be, and we decide after their initial treatments that they require hospital admission, and there's no bed for that person to go into. Now, there are two implications of that, and it's important that your listeners are aware of that. One, and we know this for a fact, and we've known this for years, is that if you have a crowded emergency department, the 14-day mortality for that group of patients rises. So that's a fact, and nobody has contradicted that, and we've known that since 2006. The second issue, and it's equally important, and it's independent of the issue I've just mentioned, is that if you wait for a hospital bed for more than 5 hours, so from the time of decision to admit, the time you get a hospital bed, if that exceeds 5 hours, then you have an excess death rate from that alone of 1 in 87. And if your wait is 8 hours, it's 2 in 87. And you'll notice, and you'll be acutely aware of this, Jerry, that the HSE statistics suggest that people are waiting 12 and 24 hours for admission. Yeah. So you can imagine the mortality rate associated with that. So these two factors, each independently, guarantees additional mortality. These are patients who wouldn't otherwise die. So when we have looked at the statistics of this, if you take the first example alone, where crowded emergency departments, if we apply the original studies came from Australia, but if we apply that to the population that we had of 4.5 million, it suggested that we had somewhere in the order of 350 or 360 deaths per year as a direct result of that. Now that our population is over 5 million, that figure is closer to 400. Now, if you can also imagine that two Aer Lingus planes or Ryanair planes were to collide two full planes with a full crew were to collide overhead, that would produce about 400 deaths. And there would be hell to pay if that would happen. And yet we're accepting this year in, year out, because these are patients who are often elderly. These are patients who often have medical issues. And there doesn't seem to be the societal response to this that is justified. I mean, we hear a lot of complaints of people about various things which are relatively less important. But the health of people and deaths that shouldn't otherwise occur don't seem to generate the same level of concern.
It suggests, Fergal, there's an apathy that's set in because people feel this has been a problem for so long that it'll never be fixed, and they're resigned.
I suspect you're right. And, I mean, there's a phrase that you've often heard in the context of poverty about the poor, sure, they're always going to be with us. That same apathy, that same sort of sense of, well, there's nothing we can do about it, seems to apply in healthcare as well.
So what would you like to see?
That's demoralizing.
What would you like to see?
In terms of
beds, like obviously doubling that level of beds available, but it's beds in the community as well, it's step-down beds,
it's
home care packages at home.
So one of our challenges is...
Yeah, we're speaking with Fergal Hickey, who's president of the Irish Association of Emergency Medicine. Fergal, you're back on the line. You were talking there about what you'd like to see in terms of, I suppose, bed provision from here.
Yeah, so the point I was making, Jerry, before we got cut off for whatever reason, was that not alone are we short of acute hospital beds and the highest bed occupancy rate in Europe, but at the moment we have huge difficulty getting people who are in those beds to community facilities. So we have exit block both from the emergency department into the hospital, but we have exit block from the hospital into the community. So we need beds in both areas, but we need in the order of 2,000 acute hospital beds. I mean, this isn't a minor issue. And although there has been some attempt in the past year to try and create some additional bed capacity, it's been kind of two beds here and three beds there. Whereas we need to take a more systemic approach to it, and a bit like, again, the conversation you had with Norma Foley, we need to actually recognize we have a problem and set about fixing it in the way that Germans are fixing their LNG problem.
Yeah, and from that, you're looking at the need for staff, nurses, to staff those beds if we do provide them, and that goes back then to retention and recruitment, and brings me back to the offer, hopefully, of positions in UHK for consultants. They can be offered, but sometimes they're not taken up, so the hope is they would be accepted, and that comes down to conditions, accepting them, making, Kerry an attractive place for people, and having enough people there and competition for those jobs to make sure that we're not in a situation whereby we just don't have the consultants or the nurses needed to staff those beds when they are provided.
Absolutely, and all of that is true. And one of the big challenges at the moment in terms of consultant recruitment is that there are somewhere between 800 and 900 consultant vacancies in the country of a consultant workforce of only a few thousand. So it's very significant. And the reason for this is that there was a decision made by the then Minister for Health, James Riley, in 2012 to cost the pay of what he referred to as new entrants, but these are people who've often been 10 and 12 years in the system. So they're not new entrants, and windings and various things that have happened. A new entrant consultant currently will get approximately two-thirds of the salary that a pre-2012 consultant will get. And that's just simply crazy. But in an environment which is competitive, in other words, that people have the capacity to go to Australia where they're crying out for doctors and they pay them well and they have better terms and conditions, a better infrastructure, they have nicer departments, they have more staff, they're not short of nurses in the way that we're increasingly short of nurses, then we're losing this competitive battle. And although the minister made it clear that this was going to be a priority when he was the opposition health spokesman, he hasn't actually dealt with the issue.
But he has to go, Fergal, finally, he has to go to the door of Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue and look for money. There's a new round of public sector pay talks starting this morning. They're going to have to give more money to them. Everyone's got the handout. We're borrowing a lot of money. We're heading for an economic crisis.
We are indeed. But, Gerry, we need to sort out health primarily. If we're short of 900 consultants, or the best part of 900 consultants, then healthcare is significantly compromised.
Yeah.
And that's only going to end up costing us more money in the long term, either by deaths that shouldn't have occurred, or worse outcomes that might have occurred. So this is not victimless. You know, this has a massive implication. Waiting lists have become record level, and that's because we don't have the capacity, either bed capacity or the consultant capacity, to
deal
the work.
With those issues.
So
yeah.
This needs to be fixed. And avoiding the problem and avoiding implementing the solution is not going to solve it.
Not going to fix it. Final brief point to underline your point, I suppose. A listener gets in touch. My 90-year-old father went to the ED in Tralee with a chest infection. He was 30 hours in a trolley and died within days. I agree with your speaker. It does cause premature mortality. Our condolences to that listener.
Yes, and I have spent so much of recent years apologising to patients for what I see as inadequate care. So I can see somebody on Monday, and on Wednesday, when I'm at work, as I was on Tuesday, I see that patient still there. And I end up apologising to them and saying, look, this is not acceptable, and I'm sorry about this, it's not our fault. But what I have been appalled at is the relative inertia of the public. You know, people just accept this, and I think it goes back to your point earlier, Gerry, about apathy. We need to get away from this apathetic approach. We will not solve this problem unless it becomes a significant enough political crisis. It is a health crisis. It is a crisis for our public. But it doesn't seem to be a crisis for our politicians, who just shrug their shoulders and just carry on.
Okay, all right, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us about that, Fergal Hickey, President of the Irish Association for Emergency Medicine, on the good news that 50 new positions have been offered, interviews to try and increase the numbers, and offers hopefully coming from those at UHK to get from where we are now, 1 to 3, and eventually to 5.